morning, Green Bay Packer fans. It is Friday, December 10th. You're listening to Railbird Central. I'm Brian Caravu, right here on CheeseheadTV.com. Thanks for joining me. Please be advised, you can tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, and your comments will get through to the show, or feel free to use our widget underneath the broadcast player. Thanks for joining me today. If you look at the top of the live blog, I have a link for today's Packers Daily Links at CheeseheadTV.com. Make sure to click that and follow along. And if you click that, you'll be taken to a screen that looks like this. And our top story today is Greg Jennings. Seemingly every media outlet in Wisconsin did a story on Greg Jennings yesterday. I don't know why they all did it all at once. Maybe Wednesday or yesterday, I guess, was Thursday. Great, maybe that was the only day Greg Jennings was available in the locker room that everybody could talk to him. But it was kind of interesting. Nothing changed with Greg Jennings between last Sunday's game and yesterday. So it was just kind of coincidence, I guess, that all the media outlets decided to do an article on Greg Jennings yesterday. But if you click the link here, probably the best one and the most interesting I found was an article by ESPN.com's Kevin Seifert, the NFC North blogger, and this would be his article. And it really talks about why Greg Jennings has played so well over the past, about seven games or so? Pretty much ever since JerMichael Finley went down. And he goes about finding a why. Why is Greg Jennings playing so well? And a lot of these things you don't really think of too critically. I mean, you never really think about them critically unless you really sit down to study it. And that's what Kevin Seifert does. I guess I just wanted to share a few of the things that he writes. The quote that I use in the Daily Links is this one. Mr. Seifert writes, quote, Packers coach Mike McCarthy is getting as many receivers on the field as possible to flood the zone, so to speak. The Packers lead the NFL in five receiver sets, and they've used three receivers on 423 of their 732 plays this season, the eighth highest total in the league, according to ESPN stats and information. And that's kind of pointing out how much Greg Jennings is seeing single coverage. Teams aren't really playing eight in the box versus the Packers. And why would they? Packers aren't really known as a running team. There's not a huge threat there, at least since Ryan Grant has been gone. Can make the argument that James Starks will be a threat, but as of now, the Packers are a passing team and pretty much have been under head coach Mike McCarthy. You can't blame teams. Not going to play eight in the box. But, that their ability to spread things out, you know, when you put five receivers on the field, you know, it's pretty darn hard to, have two defenders on Greg Jennings. But there's other reasons as well, which are rather interesting. And if you continue to read the article at ESPN.com, I highly suggest it. He talks about Packers attacking different levels and how balanced they are. They throw, nearly the equal amount of, I won't say equal, but, you know, they really do a good job at mixing up their short, medium, and long passes. So the defense really doesn't know what's coming. You know, they'll throw a quick little 5 yard out to a deep downfield play action pass. And they do a good job of mixing that up. And speaking of that, article at Maple Street Press, Packers Annual, Chris Brown of Smart Football really details the different levels the Packers receivers use in their passing patterns. Fantastic article if you haven't read it already. Highly suggest it. If you want to know about as much about the Green Bay Packers as possible. And third of all, Kevin Seifert really details just how well the individual skill sets of Greg Jennings and Aaron Rodgers really are. They're just elite players, as he uses the word, quote, elite, unquote. And these are really the reasons why Greg Jennings is pretty much the best receiver in the NFL over the past several games. And I'm not really sure how much of a topic I can throw out there for discussion here on a talk show. But I just wanted to let everybody know about that article. It's the best one of the day, and that's why it's the lead article over at today's Packers Daily Links. See what Packer Nation has to say about Greg Jennings. Some comments about Kevin Seifert here. Rupert making fun of him, how he's Vikings heavy. I've found him to be Bears heavy a little bit, you know, seemingly, you know, playing to the big markets in Chicago and Minneapolis, far bigger than the Green Bay Milwaukee market. But no, I mean, I don't think that's a conscious effort because, you know, the Packers are such a nationwide brand that there's fans everywhere. I just think a lot of times, of course, you're in the media and you have to talk about Brett Favre. I mean, that drives your traffic and, you know, you do what you got to do. It is a business. So, but this is a good article, and good job there. And I see talk has turned to the Detroit Lions already. A. Beckman, anyone concerned about Sue lining up against Brian Bulaga? And Rupert comments, I'm worried about Sue against everybody. And Tony says, Sue won't be on Bulaga. It's either Cliff Averill or whoever is Kyle Vandenbosch's backup. And yeah, you know, Sue's more of an interior player on the defensive line. He doesn't really get out to tackle that area of the defense too much. More of an inside technique guy. So you don't have to worry about that. But regardless, the point is, Sue is an animal as the Packers preparing to take the Lions this weekend. Just coming to mind is a couple tweets about the NFL draft, and, you know, regardless of, you know, the Lions might be the best 2-10 team in the league, but, you know, even if they were to go undefeated for the rest of the season, they're still going to have a pretty high draft choice once again this upcoming year. And somebody was mentioning about how Nick Fairley, Auburn defensive tackle, could go as high as Ndamukong Suh in this upcoming year's NFL draft. And wouldn't that be a fearsome duo to face, Nick Fairley and Ndamukong Suh, if the Lions could get him? I tell you, folks, Nick Fairley, for my money, could be the number one overall draft choice this upcoming year. Maybe that goes to Stanford's quarterback, But Nick Fairley's right up there. Amazing, amazing player. And it is scary just to think that the Lions are getting another high draft choice and another high draft choice in the second round. Changing the topic. I find this one a little bit interesting. Gets my goat a little bit. Our second article down after all the other links to other articles on Greg Jennings today. Tremont Williams. There's a column, an opinion piece from Mike Vandermause of the Green Bay Press Gazette on Tremont Williams. And you click where it says Tremont Williams, it'll take you over to PackersNews.com. And Mr. Vandermause is criticizing the choice of using Tremont Williams on punt returns. And as I say in the Daily Links, I mean, hasn't this train left the station? You know, I understand there's a big risk involved when you're putting one of your best players on special teams, on punt returns, and he could get hurt. And no doubt about it, Tremont Williams is probably having the best season on the team this year. I would go as far as to say he's having the best season on the team. Right now. Season is not over. I mean, Aaron Rodgers could very well win that battle by the end of the year. Or Greg Jennings. But I think, you know, those guys got a little bit of a slow start, Jennings and Rodgers. Whereas Tremont Williams has playing at a high level all season long, every single game. But I digress. The point here is, you know, it's a little late to be making the Tremont Williams argument here, criticism on punt returns. I see this argument being valid in training camp in September, but I mean, come on, it's now December. He's been there all season long, and he hasn't turned the ball over. And he's doing an okay job when he does return it. He makes smart decisions. You know, if that ball, if he's going to be put in danger, a lot of times he just doesn't even touch it. And that's fine. I think most people would say that's okay. You know, the Packers have a pretty good offense, and Tremont Williams isn't afraid to make a fair catch either. So he really is about as smart as possible as you can get. And I don't like the idea either about Tremont Williams on punt returns, and I hope by next year the Packers can find a kick return specialist, and maybe it's Sam Shields next year after now that he's got a little bit of experience, got a little kick return experience. But that's next year. I think you just bite the bullet and you suck it up, and Tremont Williams is your punt returner this year. I mean, it would be counterproductive to make the change now. It just, you know, that was a column for September, not December. And that's what gets me about that column. Looking at the comments on the live blog. Packers Lounge comments, we have not fumbled or turned the ball over all year, and that's almost the case. I think the Packers are second in the NFC in fewest amount of fumbles. Packers running backs have not turned the ball over all year long. That's amazing. And yeah, I can see the jokes already that the Packers don't have a running game to begin with. But I mean, really, look past that. That's amazing when you're talking about, you know, literally hundreds of carries that running backs have not turned the ball over at all. Tony comments, I hate seeing Tremont return punts. I always will, but he can catch them. Just fair catch all of them or run out of bounds. Packers Lounge comments, the fair catch is one of our best plays. And I'm glad to see most people agreeing here. Tremont is batting 1,000 and should stay there. Nate Beckman comments, another knock on wood. Packer fan John says, I cringe every time I see him get gang tackled. I think everybody does cringe when they see Tremont get tackled. But I guess that's, you just got to live with it. Andy Man says, it sucks because he's been playing so well at corner, but why risk the turnovers with a guy we know wasn't that good at punt returning, or someone who doesn't return? If you want to comment on Tremont Williams, on Greg Jennings, on the Lions, feel free to call into the show. Number's up on the screen. 646-797-2909. Feel free to call in. Give your comments. I think I got the phone lines working today. We can actually hear anybody who would call in. But, you keep Tremont Williams on punt returns, and I think everybody hopes, like I said, next year the Packers gotta get a return specialist. They gotta find one. It's been so many years now. You know, I think they were hoping Sam Shields would be the guy coming into this year. But again, I mean, they shouldn't be banking on that. He really didn't have any experience at it coming in. It just goes to show how hard it is as a rookie to do that. Those guys got to be so nervous, and I'm sure that's what's led to Shields' fumbles, you know, during training camp and the preseason. You think back to a couple years ago, the Packers drafted, if you remember this, Corey Rogers, I think was his name, in the 4th round. Pretty much, he was, I believe, a wide receiver, but he pretty much was drafted as a return specialist in the 4th round. I mean, fair, you know, mid-round, not a 7th round type of guy. And, you know, didn't even make the 53-man roster cut and out of the NFL. You know, this is going back 4 years ago now or so. But, I mean, it's, you know, pretty much under Mike McCarthy, Packers haven't had a return specialist. And Packer fans are more attuned to this than anyone because they saw what a return specialist can do during the Packers' most recent Super Bowl victory in 1996. With Super Bowl MVP Desmond Howard. How much of a factor that person can be. And if I'm correct, the Packers also had the special teams suicide member, the Pro Bowl special teams guy in Travis Jervey. That's how good special teams was that year. Back during 96 in the Super Bowl run. They had 2 Pro Bowlers just on special teams. And 2 pretty solid kickers and punters as well. Craig Hendrick and Chris Jackie. Man, what the Packers wouldn't give to have those 2 solid specialists right now, like that. Guys you can trust. Maybe they weren't Pro Bowlers, but they were close. And I think Hendrick eventually did make the Pro Bowl. Anyhow. Another interesting article today. Looking at the Packers Daily Links. This has to do with Aaron Rodgers. And I think it's, you know, the article features Aaron Rodgers, but I really think it's a result of the whole entire team. And that's how much the Packers have improved on third downs. And just in the past month, the past four games, pardon me, if you go to click this link that says Aaron Rodgers, it'll take you to the Packers official website, and this would be it. And the article talks about how well Packers have improved over the past four games. You know, of course, last year Aaron Rodgers was amazing at third downs. His quarterback rating on third downs led the NFL. And, you know, the Packers were one of the best in the NFL on third downs. And we've said that ad nauseum on here. And, you know, one of the reasons the Packers were so successful. But prior to the bye this year, that really wasn't the case. On third downs, just middle of the road, even below average. And it says, you know, right within this article over at Packers.com that the Packers ranked 26th in the NFL coming into, or yeah, the bye, you know, by the time the bye week came. And just over the past four games, or it wasn't even the bye week, it was just, you know, prior to the last four games that they were 26th. But regardless, if you read by Tom Fanning here, he talks about how just Aaron Rodgers has improved. And he writes, quote, over the past four games, Rodgers leads all NFL quarterbacks with a 149.7 third down rating. That's almost perfect. I think perfect is 156 or something like that. Connecting on 24 of 33 passes, 72.7% for 5 touchdowns and 0 interceptions with an average 11.4 yards per attempt. He completed 6 passes of 25 plus yards on third downs in the last 4 contests compared to just 2 passes of that length in the first 8 games. And over that same stretch, over the past 4 games, the Packers have improved from 26th to 6th in the NFL in third downs in just a month's time. Amazing improvement. 6th in the NFL. I mean, this is why the Packers have won, what is it, 5 out of their past 6 games now? This is why. You know, they're not only improving on third downs, but really to be good on third downs, you also have to be good on first and second. So really, they're good on all downs. Because in order to convert third downs on a consistent basis, you know, convert more than you don't, it has to be third and manageable. I like to use that term quite a bit, third and manageable. If you're sitting there with 3rd and 10, or you have a penalty, or 3rd and 15, you know, even 3rd and 8, 3rd and 9, you're not going to convert any of those. It just isn't going to happen. It takes time for the receivers to get past that first down marker, and the quarterback doesn't always have that amount of time to sit back there. So It is amazing. How well the Packers are playing, really, on all downs. Packer fan John says, Corliss has been quiet. Kind of going off on a tangent here a little bit. Andrew Corliss, yeah, he really hasn't been as good as I had hoped he would be. He's been, you know, he's been fine. I don't think anybody is getting off the Andrew Corliss bandwagon or thinking he's useless. I mean, he's just a rookie, and as everybody knows, it's just tough being a rookie in the NFL. I think we're spoiled this year with the Packers, with, you know, how much success the Packers are having with the rookies. You know, you look at Sam Shields and Brian Bulaga, and they're playing so well. But, I mean, you know, traditionally, historically, you know, rookies are rookies. They struggle. They just so much with the mental part and even physical as well. They're just not, you know, don't have years in an NFL weight room yet. And it just takes time for them to develop. I look at your Michael Finley. Barely saw the field his rookie year, for which he was mostly healthy, which kind of makes you think, you know, Corliss seeing the field this year, and how good can he be in future years, given the experience he's getting. I guess I was hoping by now, in week 13, that Corliss would be learning a little more than he is, and helping the team a little more than he is. But he'll be all right. Illinois Pack fan says Finley and Corliss should be a good combo next year. That's for sure. That's for sure. How much can you get those guys on the field at the same time? That's a question. Packers don't seem to... Well, I mean, they've never really had two receiving tight ends like that before, of that nature and in that body. So I guess it's, you know, unfair to compare it to anything else. I mean, they've certainly used two tight end sets. But most of the time when the Packers use two tight ends, it's on running downs. But, you know, that's when you're seeing Tom Crabtree and your Michael Finley on the field at the same time, or Tom Crabtree and Don Lee. I mean, Tom Crabtree isn't Finley or Corliss, so kind of an unfair comparison, apples and oranges, if you will. Picker fan John writes, Jackson and Chewy. It could be the best tight end combo since then. And, you know, again, going off on tangent here, just before we go to break, driving yesterday, I was in the car for an hour, and this came to mind. Who out there has worried about the length of Brian Bulaga's arms this season? Remember how much of a deal that was going into the draft and after the draft? That Brian Bulaga didn't have long enough arms to succeed in the NFL? Has anybody ever thought that since last April, May? Has that ever entered your mind, even? Just ridiculous. So, chew on that for a while. Be glad that Brian Bulaga is succeeding in the NFL. Again, himself just a rookie and has a ways to go, but I think most people are pleased with the progress of Brian Bulaga this season. Could be a future stud. A better question, and I'll just let you guys leave it as I go to break here. Just comment on the live blog. Where do you think Brian Bulaga is in the future? Is he a right tackle or a left tackle? And, I think people most, you know, before the season, training camp, whatever, everybody would have said left tackle. But I think evidence is building. Not to say he can't be a left tackle in the future, but I think evidence is building that he could be a right tackle. Seeing TJ Lang now, the primary backup, I mean, just because he gets practice reps there when Brian Bulaga is focusing on being the starter. on the right side. But just comment about that while I go to break here. It's the bottom of the hour, and when we come back, we'll be talking about Green Bay Packers and yak yards when we come right back. Welcome back to Railbird Central here on CheeseheadTV.com. I'm your host, Brian Kirvu. Joining me as a director today is Alex Talich of the Packers Lounge. Once again, if you want to tweet with the hashtags Railbird or the hashtags CheeseheadTV, your comments will get through to our live blog. Just noticing the tweets here for the Chief. Congratulations to the Chief for making it on Showtime. On I believe the show is called Inside the NFL. Yeah, our Chief on YouTube has made the big time. They used a video of one of his clips of one of his videos on their program. I haven't seen it yet. Wonder if we can get that on YouTube to see how they used it. But everybody out there, congratulate the Chief. Good to see. Love the Chief. Right before break, ask people to comment on Brian Belaga a little bit. And some interesting comments here. Illinois Pack fan says, the way Clifton has played this year, he probably has another good year in him. And that brings up a total other topic. I mean, what does everybody else think out there about Chad Clifton? He has had a pretty good year. It was a little bit surprising to find out that he was leading the NFC in voting, Pro Bowl voting, among tackles. I didn't think that he was number one in the NFC good, but solid nonetheless. Very solid season for Chad Clifton. Nobody will deny that. Not here. I guess I was kind of thinking, you know, Chad Clifton said in an interview, this is going back weeks and months ago now, that he would consider coming back next year as a backup to Brian Belaga if he was healthy and he felt like he could play. So, you know, it's very nice to see that he was unselfish enough to say that. And not to say that he was, you know, he didn't come out and say, I'm a backup next year either. Don't get the wrong impression. He's just saying, like, you know, if that was the case, he would do it. And that's great. But, very interesting. A. Beckman comments how he thought Brian Belaga made a mistake by leaving early for the NFL. Of course, he was a junior entry this past year. And changed his mind a little bit that he adapted so well. And have to agree. You know, everything Brian Belaga has done has been positive. Illinois Pack fan says, how's Woodson's ankle? Good question. Nobody really knows. Last we heard was Mike McCarthy's press conference yesterday, and he really wouldn't say, as he usually says. He says, Friday will be a big day. And he's right. I mean, it's hard to tell, hard to project how serious something can be until they see how he responds and he rehabs, things like that. But nobody really knows right now. Going to have to wait till this afternoon. I believe the Mike McCarthy press conference today is somewhere just after the noon hour, Central Time. So we will find out. Going back to today's Packers Daily Links. Yak yards. Packers have seen a big improvement in that category. If you click the link that says yards after the catch, it'll take you to the Packers official website again. Kind of jealous of the Packers official website and their writers over there. You know, they get stats, of course, on things like yak yards. Things that the regular fan doesn't have access to. You know, when you work for an NFL team, you have access to pretty much anything you need and want. And so they've found out just how much the Packers have improved in that department. And saying that, you know, following the bye week, the Packers were 15th in the league in yards after the catch. And over the past three games, they've gone up to 9th in the NFL. You know, not a huge improvement like third down we talked about in the first half of the show, third down conversion rate, but still good nonetheless. Mike Spofford of Packers.com writes, over their last three games, the Packers have climbed six spots in the league rankings, all the way up to number 9 at 1,527 yak yards. That's a big jump to make this late in the season, but the Packers don't look at it as doing anything special. It's the way things are supposed to work. And I just happen to make a comment that it's not all the wide receivers either, as well as they've played. You know, Greg Jennings certainly is the probably the primary reason yak yards are so good, but you look at Donald Driver's catch this past week where he broke three tackles and carried a, you know, there's like four guys right around him when he crossed the end zone, the plane. But Brandon Jackson has been doing it too on things like screen passes and outlet passes thrown his way. So really good job by the running back, and nobody can deny Brandon Jackson, how well he's done on third downs. I mean, you can say all you want about James Starks and how he should be the featured running back for the Green Bay Packers, and that's could be very well true. But you know, I'm going as far as saying here, Brandon Jackson is becoming one of the best third down backs in the NFL. And would you agree? I mean, he is amazing in pass protection. Rarely, if ever, screws up. And also, as a receiver, just as we've talked about here, screen passes, outlet passes, dump offs, you name it. I mean, he's getting the job done. So, I mean, he's showing his worth. One of the best third down backs in the NFL. Do you agree? If you want to call into the show, voice your opinion. Phone number is area code 646-797-2909. Phone number's on the screen for those of you watching the live version of Railroad Central and not the podcast. But, or leave your comments on the live blog. Want to think what you think about Brandon Jackson as a third down back. Strictly, we're not talking about him as the featured back right now, but him as a third down back. Is he one of the better ones in the NFL? Coming into the season, I certainly wouldn't have said that. But I'm starting to believe it now. Illinois Pack fan comments, Brandon Jackson is a true professional. You never hear Brandon complaining about his carries or how the Pack uses him. And have to agree. And we even have the poll on the screen. Is Jackson one of the best third down backs in the NFL? And right now we have 100%. Could that just be because we only have one person voting? Oh, we got here 60% now. So we've got definitely got more than one person, even more than two people voting, which is great. Aaron Biederman says, would you say he's better than Reggie Bush? No, I wouldn't say he's better than Reggie Bush. I guess I was pretty general in my comments in saying he's one of the best third down backs in the NFL, or is becoming that way. One of. Not the best. One of the best. I suppose that's a pretty general statement, which allows a lot of leeway. But, no, Brandon Jackson is improving. Packer fan John says Pitt. Moore from Pitt. Pittsburgh is pretty good, too. Mueldy Moore. I agree. I like Mueldy Moore a lot. I think he could be more than a third down back, and perhaps someday he will get that chance. Says, there are other guys who have his strengths but are also a threat to run, guys like Chester Taylor. Yeah, I mean, running the ball is certainly probably third down the list of Brandon Jackson's abilities behind pass blocking and receiving and then running the ball. Although he's shown he can do it from time to time. Remember the 70-plus yard run of Brandon Jackson's? Did that happen at Washington this year? Can't remember what game that happened, but it couldn't have happened that game. Packers lost that game. I think Brandon Jackson played very well overall. Timmy comments, Jackson's in the bottom of the league for sure. I don't know why I just even read Timmy's comment. That's a mistake. I'll make sure not to read those comments. Feel free to say all the dumb things you want, though, on the blog, Timmy. We'll publish them on the blog. We just won't repeat your nonsense. You know, this discussion about Brandon Jackson goes very well into the next topic I want to get into. If we look at the Daily Links again, and you click this link that says contract extension. Jason Wilde of ESPN Wisconsin talked about all the players in line for a contract extension next season. And, you know, basically all the free agents. And, you know, who's next? Who's going to get their contract extension next? And we've talked about that on this show several times. You know, the article talks about Desmond Bishop being the one player who has actually talked to the Packers about a contract extension, albeit very briefly and not really discussions not going anywhere. And Mr. Wilde writes, quote, the only player whose agents are known to have engaged in contract talks with the team is Bishop, who ranks second on the team in tackles with 85 entering Sunday's game against the Detroit Lions at Ford Field. Bishop, who took over as a starter after Nick Barnett was lost for the season with a wrist injury, acknowledged that he would like to sign an extension, but isn't sure whether anything will get done anytime soon. And, you know, we can talk for hours about who's the most important free agent to sign. There's a lot of them, you know. Bishop coming near, if not at the top of the list, near the top. And you've got Cullen Jenkins and James Jones and Darren College and others. But I suppose, you know, also dovetailing with our previous topic here on Brandon Jackson, he's also a free agent after this season. And where is he on the priority list? Most people agreed. Maybe we didn't agree that he was the best third down back in the NFL, but people are saying that he's up there. And even if he's not a feature back, he has his worth in that role. Where does he come on the list? Maybe I'll try to find this entire list by Wilde here and try to read off all these names of future free agents here. If I can find here I believe they are. So, becoming free agents after the season, Cullen Jenkins, Desmond Bishop, Darren College, Corey Hall, Mason Crosby, Atari Bigby, Brandon Jackson, and Jason Spitz. So, perhaps if anybody wants to on the live blog, perhaps rank these guys. Who's most important, who's least important, or maybe you could comment who walks, who are the Packers not going to sign, who might they not be able to afford to sign. I think you look at the guys at the top of the list there, Desmond Bishop and Cullen Jenkins, they could make some big cash on the free agent market if they're allowed to shop their services to anyone. And a lot of has to happen in the off season in regards to the collective bargaining agreement. We don't know whether a guy like Desmond Bishop will be a restricted free agent or an unrestricted free agent. People tend to think it will go back to the old way, and those with 4 accrued years in the NFL will be able to. They will be able to go back to unrestricted free agency, unlike this past year. And the comments are rolling in. Packers Lounge comments. Bishop has shown he can stay healthy and should be first. Tony says College will walk after this year. Cullen will get paid along with James Jones. Packer fan John says, I wouldn't shed a tear if we lost Crosby and Jones. Jamie George says, Bishop and Jenkins are tops for me. Aaron Biederman ranks them 1 Jenkins and 2 Bishop. And 31 says, Spitz will walk for sure. I'm not sure College is part of their long-term plans either. And then we've got a poll. Will Atari Bigby be a Packer next year? And 88% say that no, he won't. You just see that poll right there. Atari Bigby, 88% said he won't be a Packer, and 13% said he would. That doesn't add up to 100. I'm no math major, but that's 101. But anyhow, your Packer fan, John, ranks them. 1 Bishop, 2 Jenkins, 3 Jackson, 4 College, 5 Crosby. Interesting that Packer fan, John, left James Jones off that list entirely. And just playing devil's advocate here. If you're a fan of the website Pro Football Focus, basically every week they have like a little update on leading candidates for the Pro Bowl. And at the fullback position, pretty much Corey Hall has been listed in the NFC as one of the candidates for several weeks. So really, I'm just playing devil's advocate. I realize Corey Hall's been injured more than his fair share, not only this year, but for several years now. his entire NFL career. You know, he hasn't been a Justin Harrell by any means, but Corey Hall seems to have a hard time staying on the field. And as Pro Football Focus also points out, Corey Hall, you know, prior to last week has only played like 140 snaps on the season. So it's hard to, you know, gauge a Pro Bowler on 140 snaps. And of course, you know, fullback is kind of becoming a outdated position in the NFL. There aren't even all that many out there, and only one goes to the Pro Bowl. It's not like they even bring a backup. But anyway, just playing the devil's advocate here. Corey Hall, Pro Bowl caliber fullback, not making a lot of lists. Illinois Pack fan says, how about Charlie Peppera? I'm not sure Charlie Peppera is a free agent. He might have signed a two-year contract. Somebody can feel free to corroborate that or prove me wrong if you can look up Charlie Peppera's contract. But he might have another year. So not too much of a problem there. A lot of differing opinions on James Jones here, the wide receiver. Packer fan John says, hate James Jones. And Packers Lounge says, love James Jones. And Aaron Biederman says, I hope we get James Jones done. I like him a lot. It's just the attitude with James Jones. You know, nobody's doubting the ability, but of course he has, you know, had his share of fumble problems and things like that, and miscommunications with Aaron Rodgers on back shoulder throws and things of that nature. But yeah, I mean, you know, right here, the results of the poll coming in, Jones or Jordy Nelson, and 71% went with James Jones. You know, interesting considering the big play Jordy Nelson just had against the Atlanta Falcons to tie that game up in the fourth quarter. Jordy Nelson kind of having the hot hand as compared to James Jones, at least as of late. I saw an article not long ago by, I think it was Bob McGinn of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, going over needs for the Packers heading into next year. And not that the Packers always draft for need, but just needs in general. And wide receiver came near the top of the list, and I was kind of shocked. And I realized James Jones is a free agent and may not be back with the team. I realize a guy like Donald Driver is getting older. But I mean, is wide receiver really one of the top needs on the team? I thought that was weird. And especially because inside linebacker was not one of the top needs. And that just flabbergasted me. I mean, there's so much uncertainty at the inside linebacker position. Desmond Bishop is a free agent. AJ Hawk has a $10 million contract, which the Packers will either renegotiate or cut him. Nick Barnett has injury issues, and some have argued that he won't be back next year. I think he will. I don't see why he wouldn't, actually. And Brandon Chiller's got injury issues as well, landing on injured reserve this year. I mean, there's questions about all four of those guys. How can inside linebacker not be an issue? I find it hard to believe that all four of those guys will be back next year. One of them's got to be gone. I personally think the most likely to be gone is AJ Hawk. I mean, AJ Hawk has played better this year, but I think that your best combo, all things being equal, would be Desmond Bishop and Nick Barnett. And truth be told, I don't think even all that highly of Nick Barnett. I just think there can be an upgrade there. He's been solid, and my goodness, you go back to that 2007 season, he was amazing then. But I just think there's guys with higher upsides there, and you look at the draft and a guy like Greg Jones from Michigan State. I mean, how nice would it be to have a guy like him on your roster? Just an athletic guy, can go sideline to sideline. I think he can move a lot better than Nick Barnett. And again, we're talking rookies here, and I don't know if he can make an impact right away. You know, Barnett has the edge and experience. Aaron Biederman asked, do you believe in the trap game? Yeah, if you go to the Daily Links, there's an article today from Old Bag of Donuts whether this constitutes a trap game for the Green Bay Packers against the Lions this weekend. Do I believe in the trap game? Yeah, I believe in it. I don't believe it's going to happen. There's been so much said this week about, you know, coming from the Green Bay media and the Green Bay Packers, about the Lions being the best 2-10 team in the history of the NFL. I think there's some respect there. And I think that, you know, a loss in this game would be a division game, a conference game, and those things all factor into tiebreakers. And I really think the Packers realize the significance of this game. So yeah, while I do believe there's trap games, I do think the Packers aren't going to fall victim to that this Sunday. But it's 9 o'clock. Going to take off. Thanks for joining us today, everyone, here on Railbird Central. Make sure to check out the podcasted version. I'll try to get that out later today. Have a good weekend. Enjoy the Packers game this upcoming Sunday, noon Central Time. Join us for the live blog, our weekly live blog during the game, right here at CheeseheadTV.com, and I'll be hosting the postgame show, as usual, once again, immediately following the Packers game. But take care, everyone. Have a good weekend. Hope you do maybe some Christmas shopping this weekend or whatever you have on tap. Have a good time. Take care, everyone. For Alex Talich, our director, I'll see you later.